Good morning. Thank you, Brother Dave and the musicians this morning. I really enjoyed those hymns, didn't you? Man, they are very meaningful. The last stanza of that hymn, it said, Jesus sought me. Not only he sought me, but he bought me. And he redeemed you and me with his precious blood. And that is all about that we are gathering together every Sunday here. Because not only it takes us from the beginning when Jesus came, and through his life, the crucifixion, the burial, the resurrection, and the coming back of the Lord Jesus. And that's what we were singing. And someday, I will sing up there, there is victory in Jesus. Why? Because the Lord Jesus has won the victory on the cross for you and for me. So, good morning to you all this morning. And I just want to welcome each one of you for the Family Bible Hour. And when you came in, Pastor given a little sheet here, and this one basically says what we're going to talk about today. And I got to apologize. I went a little further in this chapter to put some of the things which will be spoken by our brother George Bodie next week. So, but we won't go into too much, but some of the things are in here. So today we are looking at, this is known as the Divided Kingdom series. It starts from here because in the chapter before 12, we read about King Solomon. And last week, Dave Walton brought before us. So the chapter 11 of 1 Kings and verse 42, and we read, at the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David his father. And Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. That's where our story begins. But, you know, this morning I just want to touch something that our brother Dave brought before us last week. And that is about the life of King Solomon. That how he ended his life in his old age. So he reminded us last week that we should enjoy the things that God has given us, and we should be thankful. And there is three things I just want to add to that, and they say to enjoy the gifts of God or without the giver is idolatry. And that's what we find with some of these kings in Israel. We get into that a little bit later. And the other point we want to make this morning is enjoyment of life without God is merely entertainment. You get that? Enjoyment of life without God is merely just entertainment. But with God is enrichment and true joy and satisfaction. So those are the three things that we learn from Ecclesiastes, what Solomon is saying. In other words, he says, enjoy the gifts without the giver or without God is idolatry. And that's what we find in our society today so much. So the Apostle Paul reminds the readers when he was writing to 1 Timothy and chapter 6, and he reminds us of this. Godliness with contentment is great gain. There is two parts to that. One is godliness. In other words, living righteous, right, and with contentment is great gain. That we read in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. So the story before us is that end of Solomon's reign, and Solomon had every opportunity to fulfill the obligation of Israel covenant with God. He had his father's example to rule the kingdom. He inherited the kingdom from all external dangers. He inherited the kingdom well organized and internally. But Solomon did not live up to God's standards because he had sin of pride. And this not only the sin of pride, but also the sin of compromise. Remember, he was commanded not to increase in riches, not to increase the women that he was having. And he violated all the commandments of God, what God told him. Remember, before, he had 700 wives that either was he accumulated or was given to him, and he had 300 concubines. And you know, sometimes you wonder how the man made out to be that one, and he had riches more than anyone else in his time. They estimated, the Bible scholars estimated, that his temple that he was building for God, it was worth close to $175 billion in those days' values. And you can imagine how much that would be today's market. And so the disobedience and compromise was leading the nation of Israel, while the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, it's not that they didn't have conflicts before, but now it's started to happen, and it was irreparable. So we read in chapter 12, and you know, the scripture reminds us of the disobedience of people to God, and we read many times in the Old Testament, also in Psalm 72 and 107, and we read about the people of Israel. They were a people of disobedience, rebellion, and of murmur, and they became unthankful to God, what the Lord has done for them, and they departed from the Lord's ways. Remember the first commandment that given to the people was, the first one was, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And in Exodus chapter 20, we read that there shall have no other gods besides Jehovah God. But look at the history of the children of Israel. So, first of all, we're reminded from scriptures that the disobedience, the source is, okay, Satan's temptations. That's number one. And number two, James reminds us, is lust of the flesh. And that's why the Apostle John reminds us in 1st Epistle chapter 2, he says, love not the world and the things therein, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That is the downfall, no matter who you are, whether you are king or you are a peasant. And that applies to all of us. And we are not we cannot escape from those things. And the other things the scripture reminds us is rebellion. It brings the result of all this in people's lives. That is bitter results that come into your life and my life. And it also provokes God's anger or wrath. And that's what we read in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 1, especially if you read the Apostle Paul, reminds us people of that. That is, the wrath of God is manifested because they did not retain God in their knowledge, nor were they thankful. And that's what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1. So, and it also forfeits the favor of God or the blessings of God in our lives when we disobey God. And the other thing, God declares to us in His word that whatever we sow, we shall reap. In other words, the result is going to be the consequences of sin and disobedience is going to come into our lives. So we read the chapter 12, verse 1. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, and all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And I don't know whether you remember this little place called Shechem, because it was it has a rich history. Because you remember, if you go back to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 6, we read that Abraham worshipped God at Shechem. Jacob also built an altar and purchased land there. That's what we read in Genesis chapter 33 and verses 18 to 20. Joseph was buried in Shechem. that we read in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 32. So it was the geographical center of the northern kingdom or the northern tribes of Israel. Now remember, after the division, the northern kingdom had 10 tribes and the southern kingdom had 2 tribes, so that is Judah and Benjamin. So we read, Solomon died after 40 years of reign. And it's a good thing to remember that Saul, the first king, also reigned 40 years. And David, after that, he reigned 40 years. But we read that, you know, this is like the example of in the aviation industry, they say the crash already had happened. So we're waiting for the landing. You know what I mean? Because when the airplane in the air, there's something mechanically went wrong or electronically or whatever is went wrong. So the pilot radioed the tower and say, we got a problem. So everybody at the airport is waiting for the plane to land, crash landing. And that's what we see here in this history down the road, because it's deteriorating to the end until the kingdom is crashed and the captivity happens. And this is what we see. So Solomon's reign, different from his father David, and he burdened the people unjustly because of his luxury and idolatry, and it's broken down the morale of the people. So the jealousy between Ephraim and Judah which will be lasting for almost 300 years. But I just want you to notice that here, when Rehoboam threatened to levy heavier burdens, what happens? The people rejected him. So the four complaints that the people had was, one was forced labor. And this we read in chapter 5 of 1 Kings. And then the extravagance in building. And the third was the foreign women, that we read in chapter 9 and verse 15 to 19. So what happened was, King Solomon was influenced by his all these pagan customs and idolatry by these women that came into his life. Can you imagine? He is making one round for 1,000 women in his life. And what a contrast to that with our society today. And the fourth one was heavy taxation. It sounds familiar. Our governments are in constant increment of taxes. Yeah, have you ever noticed your property taxes from the city every year? Is it ever go down? It always up. Oh, we need 3% more this year. We need 3.5%, and then it ended up in 5%. And look at the governments that we have. The Alberta government, they started with the $4 billion deficit. Now look at where we are. It's then they said, oh, $10 billion. When Trudeau campaigned, he said, yeah, we're going to govern, but with a little deficit. That's all he said. And when I compare Rehoboam's rule, it's almost like Trudeau's government, because he seeked the advice of the elders, but he rejected them. He didn't want to follow. Even when he was asking for advice, he didn't have no intention of following with it. Instead, what he does? He asks his peers. That's just the same as all the younger generation that voted for the Liberal government. You know why? Because they ask him, what's your advice? Yeah, we want to smoke marijuana. Okay, you got it. Now it's coming in October. Anybody want to smoke? It's legal. The only problem is, don't go down south on the border to the United States. There's already people having trouble at the border. But you know, those kind of things, you ask the people what do they want, and until you hear what you wanted to hear, you ask different people. But he rejected the advice of the elders. So what we see is, but he rejected the opinion of the elders who had served his father, and rejected the style of the leadership of Solomon and David. While neither David nor Solomon were perfect, each showed a commitment to God and compassion for God's people. But Rehoboam showed little concern for either. He was more interested in his position and exerting his authority than building a community in which the people could truly be God's people. So Rehoboam asked his mate. These were much more likely to tell Rehoboam what he really thought and wanted to hear. So what did the young man offer? The opposite advice to the elders. They suggested an adversarial approach, one that would make Rehoboam more feared than Solomon was. So the tribes is in the following the advice of the young men. Rehoboam set Israel as a nation on the path of division and destruction. Over the next 400 years, and then Rehoboam clearly should have listened to what the people were saying. Now, I'm not saying that leaders should always lead by popular vote, but what the people ask for and what they want, but the leader needs wisdom to know that sometimes what the people want is actually what is best for them. And that's how we see civil governments that toppled, because people rise up against the rulers, unless it's like in North Korea or China, or a dictatorship. But in democracy, it's always that we see the result. The issue with seeking advice is understanding something about a person, also giving the advice. Well, the saddest thing about this story is that because Rehoboam's foolish choices, the northern tribes of Israel, that the 10 tribes other than Judah and Benjamin, rejected Rehoboam and asking him in rejected as the king, and in doing so rejected the house of David, Israel's greatest king, David was known. And the family line that is going to produce their Messiah. This is not the first time the north and the south have their disagreements, but this time it is irreparable. Now, I want you to picture something. There is two levels of governments and the plans that's going. One is the below the human level, and above is the sovereign God and his plan and his purposes. But you see how when we read through all these stories of the Old Testament, that we find even through the evil people, evil doings, and the disobedience and the arrogance and all those things, how God is working his ultimate plan and purpose through and with all that. So this is just like as Frank Parker reminded us many times when he was speaking on these Old Testament times. He says, you have to keep in mind the overall plan of God, what he is going to do. And no human wisdom, no human activity can diminish or disrupt the plan and purpose of God. And keep that in mind, because this chapter also reminds us that the other king, that Jeroboam, and I don't want to take too much time on that, but his leadership also, but even though it was ordained by God, he eventually leads the northern kingdom from under Rehoboam's rule. So Rehoboam was rejected by the people. So he sent his financial minister to seek advice, but what they did, they stoned him to death. And before we close, I just want to say this, that the people of God were led by all these evil men. There was 20 kings in the northern kingdom and 19 kings in the southern kingdom after the division. So there was a total of those 39. And you know how many good kings were there? There was only 7. That's right. And all the rest of them were bad kings. And because of that, you can see where the people of Israel went. I just want to remind you, all the kings that came after Rehoboam and Jeroboam, he says, Rehoboam the king answered the people, this is 1 Kings chapter 12, 13 to 15, harshly, rejecting the advice given by the elders. He followed the advice of the young men and said, my father had made your yoke heavy. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips, but I will scourge you with scorpions. And that's what Rehoboam did. So the northern kingdom had Jeroboam as the king, 22 years, and he was bad. And all the kings that followed him, they were all bad kings. And the southern kingdom had Rehoboam as the first king, and he reigned 17 years. Then Abijah, Asa, we're going to be looking at later. And Asa, he ruled 41 years, and so on. So that we see the history that followed by these kings were got to the point where at the end there was the crash landing. So it's what do we take away from these the studies that we learn from these people? First of all, find someone who is wiser than you and follow their good advice. That's a good thing to do. Because sometimes we don't seek the advice of godly people. And but the problem with us as human beings is we all have pride in ourselves. So the first step is it takes humility to ask for help and to do what is wise or good thing that people say that we should do. And the second thing that we learn from these people is lean in or depend on the advice of wise people, but be discerning. We had to get in people involved, but the counsel is from God. In Proverbs, and in Ecclesiastes, Solomon reminds us that there is counsel in the advice of multiple people rather than just one or taking your own thought. And if you look at the next king, Jeroboam, what we're going to be talking about next week, that he thought within himself and he instituted what he thought it was right. And you know what the scripture says later on? He thought in his heart. So heart is the seat of all. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 reminds us, what is that? The heart is deceitful and most wicked. Who can know it? And the Apostle Paul, like I mentioned before, in the book of Romans chapter 1, maybe I should turn to that one verse in Romans chapter 1. we read for the connection from verse Romans chapter 1 and verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world were already seen, being understood by the things that were made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they were without excuse. Look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. They became vain in their imaginations and in their foolish heart. Whenever we get away from God and His counsel, that's what happens. Remember the psalmist in Psalm 14 says, the fool hath said, where? In his heart. What did he say? There is no God. You see, how convenient is it to say, oh, there is no God, so I can do whatever I like. Because there is no consequences. I don't have to give account to anyone. And that's what the world is doing today, isn't it? When you look around, you talk to people. They say, you believe in God? And majority of the people in today's society, they say, no. And that's what that we see in the world today. Because of their foolish heart, they don't believe what God has to say to them. And also, because of that, there is rebellion and disobedience. So the second thing that we learn is lean in on the advice of the wise people, but be discerning. And the third thing that you and I should be aware of is do the right thing because it is the right thing. Do the right things because it is the right thing. And so that's number one, two, and three. And number four, then we read, don't be overly self-reliant and don't be proud. But remember that you often have wise advice for yourself just to do what you know is right in the sight of God. And the fifth thing we can take away from these stories, especially from the life of Rehoboam and Jeroboam, is live with humility. And it is a choice you and I can make. Especially if you are wise enough to choose one or two good advisors, good people, wise people, and that you will go to them when you need help and wise advice. But above all, the scripture reminds us, Proverbs chapter 3, Solomon also reminds us this. Let's read that verse. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You get that? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And second, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Acknowledge whom? The Lord. And what is the end result? And He shall deliver thee, or direct your paths, and deliver you from all evil. And I think it is in the Psalm 37, if I remember correctly. Let me read that one more verse here, because Theron remind me before the meeting, this battery is only good for 20 minutes or 25 minutes, so I had to stop. Psalm 37. So basically same thing the psalmist says. Psalm 37 and verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight in thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thine the desire of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. See that? Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. And what is the end result? He shall bring it to pass. In other words, you and I have to remind ourselves, the sovereign God with all his plan and purposes is going to be fulfilled in your life and my life. And how wonderful is it that we trust in him and obey his commands. And that's what basically these scriptures reminds us. And we see the other side of it, the end result, what happens in destruction by disobedience and sin, the consequences we're going to suffer. And one of the things that we are reminded, how foolish is the world when we're trying to tell the world that the Lord Jesus is the answer. Because he invited, even when he was here, he invited the people, come unto me, all your labor and are heavy laden. And what was his answer? I will give you rest. And he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And the superior example for you and for me this morning is not Rehoboam, not Jeroboam, and not even Solomon or David, because they all had their flaws, didn't they? They were not perfect. And yet, the Lord Jesus was the only one who was the perfect man that lived here upon the face of the earth. And that's why he could, the Apostle Paul could cry out and say, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened me. And that is where the answer, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The Lord Jesus is saying that by trusting and accepting me as your Savior and your Lord, you will have success. You will have prosperity. You will have joy and peace and gladness in your life. And how foolish is the world that rejecting, just the same as the children of Israel, same as all these kings that rejecting his advice and going after the worldly wisdom. So may the Lord help us this morning to commit our way to him and to obey him and follow his steps, that all these things will come to pass in your life and my life. May the Lord help us to do so by his Holy Spirit this morning. Shall we look to the Lord? Our God and our Father, we thank thee this morning for thy precious word. We thank thee for the sovereign God who plans and purposes everything in human life. And how we thank thee for the plan of salvation even before the foundation of the world, that God sent his Son to redeem humanity from our sin and degradation. And Father, how we praise thee and thank thee for the salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus and the steps that he ordered us to follow. Father, we thank thee for all these examples that we read from thy word, and may thy Holy Spirit help each one of us to take these lessons into heart, and that we may make the decisions that will be an honor and glory to the Lord Jesus. Father, we pray for every individual who is here, and if anyone does not know the grace of the Lord Jesus and have not known him as their Savior and Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit speak to their hearts this morning, that they might come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus and accept him as their Savior and their Lord. And Father, we pray for the people of God who know the Lord Jesus and ask thy richest blessing upon them, that we might go from this place as bold witnesses and ambassadors for the Lord Jesus, that we might bring the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus to others, and this message that Jesus saves. And Father, we thank thee for the time that we had this morning, and ask thy richest blessing upon each one. We commend ourselves to thee and the word of thy grace this morning, asking thy richest blessing as we disperse. For we ask it in the worthy and precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.